Time now for Real Estate with Mariah and Spence on 1430 KYKN. Now, here's their host, Warren Franklin.
Welcome to Real Estate with Mariah and Spence. We have another great show lined up today. You're always welcome to call Mariah or Spence at the Vetrus Crawford Realty Group to discuss anything about real estate. Their number is 503-507-3666. So let's get started. Today, we're going to discuss creative ways to get your offer accepted in a seller's market.
Something that a lot of home buyers don't realize is that there's actually a lot of tips and tricks that you can use to get your offer accepted, to make your offer a stronger offer without just raising the price, which, of course, that's always a very powerful thing to do. But there's quite a few things that you can do as well to make your offer stronger. And that's what we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah. And this is a really important segment show because the market we're in right now. We're in a very, very high equity seller's market, but there's a ton of buyers just like you out there that have written multiple offers and you just can't catch a break. Mm-hmm. And a lot of y'all are just getting discouraged or you don't know what to do. And if your realtor is just saying, hey, hold on, you know, maybe you're an FHA home buyer or a VA home buyer and you're getting told that, you know, we're only working with conventional loans or cash offers at this point. It's kind of a no man's land for you guys. I'm going to let you know that's false. Mm-hmm. And we can get through with doing some of these tips and tricks for you to get you under contract. So if you're feeling discouraged, keep listening. Yes. Because if you're not implementing some of these things within your offers, it might be time to make a transition and say, Spence, Mariah, I need your help. Come help me. So that's what the Vetrus Crawford Realty Group is here to do in the whole Mid-Willamette Valley. Let's get you under contract.
Yes. By the way, we are saving the, in my opinion, and I think you'd probably agree with me on this, what based off of what we're seeing, the most powerful tip for the very, very end of the show. So you're going to want to listen until the very end because you're not going to want to miss that. And if you are someone who is planning on buying a house in a seller's market right now in 2021, whether it's an investment property or a primary residence, you're going to not want to miss this. And if you know someone that's thinking about buying a house in this market or that is trying to buy a house in this market, send this episode to them because you can find it on YouTube under Real Estate with Mariah and Spence because they're not going to want to miss these tips.
Mm-hmm. Simple, yep. But very, very true and effective.
I can't wait.
All right, let's just get started. We've made this introduction a little long.
Okay.
All right, so the first thing is something that I actually just got back from this morning. I had a final walkthrough for a couple moving here from Illinois, and they bought a beautiful home in Albany. And we wrote about 3 different offers, which isn't a lot compared to a lot of other places.
3 offers is not bad.
We wrote about 3 different offers. And this was actually today. This was their first time ever seeing this house. And we're closing tomorrow because we did it all over video walkthrough.
And when did you submit this offer? How long did it get you to close this home?
It was a very smooth transaction. 35 days ago. It was a very smooth, easy transaction. But what we did to get this, we wrote about 3 offers prior to this. They were very strong offers, way over asking, no contingencies, but it wasn't until we did this one thing that our offer got accepted. And what we did was we offered to release non-refundable earnest money upon acceptance of offer. That's a handful.
Wow. Risque. Very risque.
Yes. Well, maybe, but not necessarily. And you want to explain what that is?
Yeah. So the verbiage is everything in this offer Mariah just wrote. So she verbed it as to release earnest money, non-refundable to seller. So that means literally exactly how it's stated. As soon as this seller decides to accept your offer, your earnest money, which is part of your down payment, that's just holding a third-party escrow account.
So it goes toward the cost of the home at closing.
At the end of the transaction anyways, so if you're planning to truly purchase this property, your earnest money is just doing another little hold on it until closing truly happens 45 days down the road. 35 days in this case. But they literally decided to say, as soon as you accept my offer, you can have my $2,000-$3,000. Because on average, that's kind of what we're seeing, that $2,000 to $3,000 price of earnest money. And to me, if I'm a seller, that's super valuable because A, that's a full month's rent if it's a rental, but then that's extra spending cash or even closing costs that I'm able to use for my next replacement property, which is super, super desirable right now in this market because these sellers have a place to go. They need cash, and sometimes it's for storage. Everybody needs storage.
Yeah. So basically, as a buyer, if you offer to release your earnest money upon acceptance of offer, make your earnest money non-refundable, basically what that means is, say something comes up in the inspection that you just can't live with and the seller won't fix, you would not be able to back out and keep the earnest money. You could back out still, but you would lose that earnest money, however much that was that you decided to put down. So, but I would do this if I were to, if I found a house that I knew like this is the one I really want this house, I would absolutely put down a big earnest money deposit and say it's non-refundable because.
In the eyes of the seller, that's value. Mm-hmm. That's super valuable. Cash in my pocket right now, right here, that's telling me that this buyer is the real deal. They want my house, but also it benefits me right up front. Which I'm always for. I love cash. Let's go put it in my pocket.
Yeah.
So, like I said, it is riskier. So you want to make sure you're not doing this on every property. So there's differences in between a 1990 build and newer and 1987 and older build.
Right.
The building is completely different at times. So we got to be educated. We got to know what property to be doing this on. And let your real estate professional maybe advise you in that manner. But also... Right. You can always bring a contractor with you. You can always bring a representative with your family on this showing to check over things and say, hey, is this a good idea to maybe release earnest money early on this home? I really want it. Some people are going to say yes. Some people are going to say no. But that's an option.
Right. This house that we did this on, that we released the earnest money non-refundable, was a 93 built. However, usually when you go into a home that's built in the 90s, you can tell because there's just certain things, the doors, you can just tell. But this home, they did so much to it and it was in such impeccable condition that it looked like it was only a few years old. Okay. So, I would never recommend doing this on a 1950s home.
Good.
So,
should we go to break before we get on to the rest?
Let's go ahead and take a break.
Okay.
We can do that.
Okay.
I want to remind you, you can always get in touch with Mariah Spence at the Fetrus Crawford Realty Group by calling 503-507-3666. We'll be back in just a couple of moments.
Welcome back to Real Estate with Mariah and Spence on 1430 KYKN. Here's their host, Warren Franklin.
We're back with Mariah Spence with the Fetrus Crawford Realty Group. You can contact them at 503-507-3666. Let's continue our conversation about creative ways to get your offer accepted in a seller's market.
Yeah, so we just went over option number one, which is releasing earnest money early to the seller. Not a bad option, but not always is that the case. Mm-hmm. So now we can transition and start thinking about what can we include in the offer that's not just reflecting sales price. Mariah, let's lead us down that trail.
All right. So this next one is shortening the inspection period. So generally when you write an offer, usually it's going to be a 10 business day inspection period. So that's the amount of time that you have to get your inspections done and then back out and still keep your earnest money if you find something that, you know, you and the seller just can't negotiate and work out. Between them fixing.
So shorten it. So say on average, generally people are going to do a 10-day inspection period. Mm-hmm. Those are business days. So you technically have 2 weeks if an offer was submitted on a Monday. So during this time frame, you need to have your inspections handled, negotiated, and all other basic due diligence on the property during this time frame. Mm-hmm. Now, if we were to lessen those days from 10 to maybe 5, this is giving the seller a better option because say you did back out for whatever reason, it's only been held up for 5 days. Right. So that is a simple technique as to why a seller would be more favorable to pick your offer over another offer that say had a 12-day inspection period. There's just more time for a buyer to back out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just simply put.
Yep. Shorten or extend closing is the next one. So basically, in this market, every time we write an offer, it as an agent, we need to be calling the listing agent and finding out, okay, what's desirable to the seller? Mm-hmm. What does the seller want? Because say the seller, maybe the house is vacant and they're like, we just want to close ASAP. Then obviously, if you have a loan, you can't always control that. But maybe make closing as short as you possibly can. Or on the other end, maybe the seller would like more time to get out of the house. And then that just means you would be working with them on the time frame. And so you'd give them a little bit more time.
Yeah. And this is really critical. Mm-hmm. When we are submitting any offer to a seller, no matter what, you want to have your buyer's agent, us, Ryan Spencer at the Vetrus Crawford Realty Group, calling the seller's agent saying, what is important to your client, the seller? Because in a way, we want to cater everything we can in our offer, because in reality, they're getting 8-10 other offers. They will not be submitting a seller's counteroffer.
No.
We got one chance.
No.
Right now, it's just not heard of being submitted with another seller's counteroffer.
Yeah.
We get to submit our residential sale agreement to the seller, and they're going to select us or someone else. Mm-hmm. And we're going to work with what they got on the table. And so we want to have all our ducks in line and make sure it's as clean, tight as possible. And that's why you want to call that seller's agent and say, what's important to you guys? Is it inspections? Is it your closing date? Are there certain items you want excluded? Mm-hmm. You just want to make sure to cover your tracks, because submitting this offer is crucial. We do not want to have it where we have to submit an addendum or mm-hmm. anything like that. And another thing to add that I don't think we're going to touch on, and we're on the subject right now, is if we've already been told that this offer just isn't going to work, maybe include in the comment section. There's a comment section in the residential sale agreement, as we want to be selected as a backup offer. Mm. It's something I have seen in the past, because things do happen. People back out for whatever reasons. Inspections are mm-hmm. a biggie. But for you to be placed in that secondary backup offer position and them not submitting a counter to say this is huge. It saves time, mm-hmm. which a lot of people don't have right now. So that's just simple verbiage that maybe if you already know you won't be selected as the first offer, put it in your verbiage as to be the secondary holder in the backup offer position.
That's a really great idea.
And they can accept that. If offer number one wasn't there, you're now at number one and you can work through escrow if selected. So
that's a good idea.
That's pretty fun to do. And I haven't seen that done often. I've seen it done maybe 2 or 3 times, which I did appreciate. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we didn't use the backup offer, but it was there. Mm-hmm. And you as a seller's agent, your job is to always supply and find a buyer that's ready and willing and able for your seller. So
that's a great mm-hmm. that's a great option.
Yeah.
So another thing that you can do, this isn't something you would put in your offer necessarily, but this is looking at for sale by owner properties, because they're not getting as much. I mean, it's not as competitive. They don't have as much exposure. So there's not as many buyers that even know about them. And you may, as a buyer, so generally the way that it works is the seller always pays for both the listing agent and the buyer's agent commission. So you may, as a buyer, have to pay a portion or all of your buyer's agent commission, but your buyer's agent is able to show you for sale by owner properties, and it could be an option.
Well, it's one of those things, you toss a coin, uh-huh. and sometimes I do have clients mm-hmm. sending me for sale by owner properties. Maybe they find on those free websites that unfortunately aren't available anymore, but I know they're trying.
Yeah.
And for sale by owners, I know they're usually coming from Craigslist, Zillow, Redfin, those type of things. And even they pay a flat fee to be posted on the MLS, and I'm sent properties as well from there. But like you said, the negotiations is tougher, because for sale by owners tend to not want to pay a commission. Mm-hmm. And a lot of agents shy away from that, unfortunately. But we don't. If you're a buyer and you're wanting to go look at a property, any property, we're going to be there for you, and we're going to try and get it under contract for you. Mm-hmm. So for sale by owners, not a bad option.
The next one is basically just not asking the seller to pay for your closing costs if you can, because a lot of buyers, especially first-time buyers, need the seller to pay for their closing. And so if you're able to, paying for it yourself and just keeping that offer clean is going to really make a difference, because it is hard getting offers accepted asking for closing right now with how competitive it is.
Yeah. And generally, when I do see closing mm-hmm. costs being paid for, it's not up front in the original offer. Mm-hmm. Usually that gets brought up through an inspection period. Mm-hmm. And then the buyer's agent is able to then negotiate on their buyer's behalf. Hey, we got some tremendous drama repairs that need to be done. This thing won't even lend mm-hmm. unless they're done. So what are we going to do here? And generally, that's where you're going to see this money get coughed up from the sellers, because they don't want to lose their client, or maybe they found a replacement property already that they got to close on in a certain time frame, or else they lose it. So now the negotiations start. Generally, that's going to happen once you are under contract, though. Mm-hmm. So up front, I would recommend staying away if you can. If you have the closing costs in your pocket right now, do not include them in your offer. But if that's absolutely what you have to do, we got to make it work.
Yeah.
You're not out of the business if you're asking for a seller to pay closing costs. There's tips and tricks we can do to your offer.
Yeah, we can negotiate them into an offer. And it's funny because a year ago, the market was so much less competitive than it is now. And something that used to be like an actual good offer was, say there's a property for $350,000 and the closing costs are going to be $10,000, we would offer $360,000 and ask for the seller to pay for our closing. So basically they're walking away with a full price offer. But nowadays, nothing is going. If it's a full price offer, that's not even going to get looked at, because that's, you know, way too low.
Right. So that used to be a good option.
It still is an option. You can still negotiate it in your closing, but then at that point, you're going to be having to go so much over asking, you know, with your closing costs, and then going over asking even more to make it a better offer, that the appraisal is going to be an issue. And that's just, it's tough.
Yeah. We got to look at it from all angles. Mm-hmm. So the next thing we can look into is a sale. A real estate sale, a lot of the times, mm-hmm. is an emotional sell mm-hmm. for the seller. Mm-hmm. I represent a lot of sellers. I know you, if you own a home, we got a lot of memories. We got a lot of memories in those homes. So we want to connect with the seller at all costs. So me as a buyer's agent representing a buyer, how am I going to express my buyer to the seller's agent so they relay and present our offer well to where my buyer and seller can mesh emotionally, and we can be in favor once our offer is presented? A tactic that a lot of people use is writing a letter to the seller, maybe explaining a little bit about their life. I don't only write offers. I just communicate this to the seller's agent and just let them know basically everything about my client. Every time I communicate with another agent, I am on your behalf and I'm representing you. So I got to verbalize and just say who we are. Who are we dealing with? You're tremendous. You're amazing people. You're a firefighter. We got a family of five here. Anything we can to connect that could possibly get relayed to the seller is beautiful. Mm-hmm. And that's what we want.
And to go along with that, writing a letter and then including a photo of your family or you, if you're writing the offer by yourself, is for the times that we see that working. It's not necessarily, obviously, the price is always going to be the most important, but if there's two offers that are the same or extremely similar, then that's when this would probably come into play and it could make a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then let's talk money here. Okay. Everybody, when we are submitting an offer, we're talking money in reality. The sellers do look at the overall ask price, but then secondary is, how much money are they putting down on my home?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's kind of showing not necessarily who the client is, like the buyer client, who they are, if they have money or not, but it's just showing like this is a strong offer. The lending institution, this will trickle down to who's doing the lending. If we're not dealing with a local lender, I strongly recommend we are, because during these offers getting presented, the seller's agents are more comfortable working with these local lending institutions rather than an out-of-state lender no one can get a hold of to verify your pre-qualifications. So putting a stronger down payment will heavily affect your offer. If we got cash to put down, let's put it down.
Yeah.
Overall, that's going to affect your monthly payment, but everybody's in a different situation and scenario.
That's good.
All right, let's take a quick break. You're listening to Real Estate with Marian Spence with the Vetrus Crawford Realty Group. You can contact them at 503-507-3666. When we come back, the real estate tip of the week.
Welcome back to Real Estate with Marian and Spence on 1430 KYKN. Here's their host, Warren Franklin.
We're back with Mariah Spence with the Ventures Crawford Realty Group. You can call them at 503-507-3666. All right, I got to ask you, what is your real estate tip of the week?
Our tip of the week is, this is what you've been waiting for. This is the most powerful thing. We've talked about a lot of different ways that you can make your offer a stronger offer and give you better chances of getting your offer accepted in this crazy, crazy market. But this is, based off of what we are seeing on the job as realtors, in my opinion, the most powerful thing that you can do. And I know not everyone is able to do this, but if you are, and if, you know, say your dream home comes onto the market and you are not missing out on it and you're able to do this, here is what the most important thing is: offering to pay above the appraisal value. In this market, it is not uncommon to see offers $50,000 over asking price. And the only way to compete with an extremely high offer like that is to write a really high offer, but also offer to pay over the appraised value if it doesn't appraise at value, because there's just no competing with that. And the only reason a seller wouldn't want to accept an extremely high offer is because they're afraid it might not appraise. So obviously, you know, the numbers have to make sense, and this isn't something, like I said, that everyone can do, but this is, in, like I said, based off of what we're seeing, that's really the offer that you can't compete with, is going over, offering to pay over the appraised value. And the reason I say not everyone can do that is because, you know, last time I did this, I think it was like a $50,000 over asking price offer, and we offered to go over the appraised value, and it ended up actually appraising, which is crazy, but a lot of homes are appraising right now. Yeah. But it ended up actually appraising, so the buyers didn't even have to do that, but they would have had to pay cash, you know, out of pocket. So that's why not everyone can do this.
Yeah, and I would call that the game changer. Mm-hmm. Out of most of our listings, when we are presented with that in the offer, it tends to be not only the highest offer out there that we receive, but also the most comfortable that my seller is willing to work with. Mm-hmm. Because once again, it's kind of similar to releasing earnest money early. It's, you got cash no matter what in your pockets, higher than anybody else would be. So in a way, it's similar to an escalation clause. We didn't get into that today just because it's not something we really wanted to go over in today's market. We will eventually in the show. Mm-hmm. But it's just putting more effort in making our sellers more comfortable selecting you as the buyer to be the next purchaser of their home.
Yeah.
And that concludes basically on all these things. Let's do a quick review on what to do to get your offer accepted more favorably if you've been in the position as of late and not have been selected. So first, we talked about earnest money. Let's get that earnest money released, non-refundable. Another thing we can do is waive that inspection period, or even just lower the inspection due diligence period a certain amount of days. Let's shorten or extend closing. So we need to be talking to that seller's agent and seeing and verifying what's important to the seller. Now we've got to look at other properties maybe, and that could be for sale by owners. Now, paying closing costs, I recommend you not having the seller pay for them. You should do that yourself. Putting a stronger down payment. And then lastly, let's go over appraisal value.
Good show here today. That's it for this week. Thank you for listening to Mariah and Spence on 1430 KYKN. You can hear the show every Saturday at 9:30 a.m. You can contact Mariah and Spence at the Ventures Crawford Realty Group at 503-507-3666. That's 503-507-3666.
You've been listening to Real Estate with Mariah and Spence right here on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.